Yeah, let's pray a small prayer together. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Lord. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for all the messages you've been telling us. It has been a long day, Lord, and a lot of us are probably tired, and our mind probably is tired to listen to more. But I know, Lord, when you speak, we are refreshed. When you speak, we will be touched, and we will be encouraged, and we will be renewed. So we trust, Lord, that you'll be speaking again to us, Lord. You know each and every one of us here in your presence. You know what we need to hear. You know what we need to do. So we are all here ready, Lord, to listen to you and no one else, Lord. Bless this time and let your spirit be the one speaking mightily and touching our hearts and empowering us, Lord, to be doers of whatever you want us to do, Lord, not just listeners. Let your words be engraved in our hearts and minds, Lord, so when the time is right, we would remember what you told us in this retreat and our life would be different from this retreat and from your words that you have been speaking to us and that you will continue to speak to us throughout this retreat. Bless and reward each and every one abundantly, Lord. Pray all these things in your holy and precious name through the intercession of our Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all the saints who pleased you since the beginning. Amen. We're talking about facing our fears. Does anyone here has any fears? Let's go. You have no fears? Let's go home. But if you do have fears, then you're in the right place. But before I get into this topic, I just have one important question that someone came and asked me, and I feel like it's very important that we ask questions, because the question you ask privately is the question that all of us have, but maybe we're shy to ask because we think that we're the only ones who have this question. So I really encourage you. I was hoping as Moura was speaking, she was talking about something really difficult, and everyone was quiet and no one had a question. Are we shy to ask? Because what God was asking us to do in this previous talk was not easy. But the question I will ask you is, why does God want us to surrender, totally surrender to him?
Like in the beginning. Well, that's what I think.
Any other answers? Why does God want full control and wants us to totally surrender to him everything in our life? A lot of hands.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, when he has a vision for us and we get in the way, our wills get in the way, and so when we have like one foot in the door and one foot out, his vision cannot be realized because
okay, let me ask the question then this way. So why does he want...
Can you just repeat what we say into the mic for the people that listen to the talks?
Here?
Yeah, like just summarize what we say.
Repeat the answer.
That will be difficult for me.
Just from now
I will try. The question then will be... my concentration level is very low. If it was in the morning, I might have been able to. So the question will be, why does God want his certain will to be done in our life? Like, why does he have a will for me and he wants me, like, still control? Why does God want me to fully submit to him?
When God created us, each one of us has a purpose of coming to this world. So in order to find out what our purpose is, we have to be under an absolute surrender and try to
So because God has a will for us, and if we surrender to him, he will be able to fulfill this will. So that, one more question, so we can stay focused, Malish. I want the answer. So we're saying then that God has a plan for my life, and if I surrender to him, this plan will be fulfilled. But what if this plan...
live in peace. It is for our lives of
We're getting close to the answer. So, because when we surrender, we will have peace. And he wants us to have this peace, is what you're saying?
He wants us like when he created us in the beginning, his image.
He wants us to be like him, to be in his image.
He has something, he has a beautiful plan for us, not just his purpose. Whatever we devise for ourselves, we think it's the best plan, but he wants us to surrender so he can give us, he wants us to let go, so he can put in our hand what's better.
Very good. God is love. God is love. God is all love. And God is our Father. And God wants us to surrender just like we want our children to surrender to us. Why do we want our children to submit totally to us? Because we think that we know what's best for them, and we wish and pray and try wholeheartedly to make them submit to us. So because we want the best for them, we want them happy, we want the best kind of life, as limited as we are as parents, so we try the best we can to let them obey us and submit to us, because we know if they do obey us and if they do submit to us, they will have a good, happy life. And we want for our children nothing but to be happy and successful, right? And God, on a bigger level, on a wiser level, is all love, and he wants us to submit to him just as a father who knows the best for us. And remember, really, the truth of the matter, we are
sheep.
Okay. That's you want to struggle with it 20 more years till you get to this conclusion. In the end, you'll realize that we are sheep. Like, our wisdom, even the way we treat our kids, like, with our wisdom, I think the best thing for my kids, so I do this because this is good for you, go to this school because this is where your future is good. You know, we're very limited. But God is all wise, all love, everything good in him, and he can do anything. So he wants us to submit to him for our own good. Okay? That's very important. That's the ground rule. Let's go to the talk of today now. As we are talking about total surrender, I'll start with a verse. Genesis 15, verse 1. It says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield." That's what God told Abraham. He told him, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." He told him, what did he tell him? Don't be afraid, because I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Keep that in the back of your mind. So when we are talking about total surrender right now, there are people in different areas of the world, because they're Christian, because they surrender to Christ, what's happening to them? Some of them are being persecuted. Some of them are being pushed away from their cities and their homes. Some of them are being imprisoned. Some of them are facing a lot of difficult things because they don't want to renounce their Christianity. And many of us are probably thinking, all we're saying here sounds nice, but every time I decide to surrender or grow closer to God and follow him wholeheartedly, what ends up happening? Some say many terrible things happen in my life once I start surrendering to God. And some may say, to be totally honest, I see around me those who are close to God and they go through trials and difficulties that I can't handle, and I don't know if I really want to surrender, and I can't handle what they're handling, and that's too risky, and it's difficult for me. So when we say, okay, God, I totally surrender, and kind of sign my name on this blank sheet. You do, God, everything with zero conditions, zero requirements from my side. Tell me honestly, what are fears? I think we discussed this in the discussion. We have some fears, right? I'm not going to go into the fears, but every one of you here, every one of us here, we have some fears in our mind. You know the song that says, "Christ is all I need"? What does that mean?
It means whoever wrote the song.
Whoever wrote it. We're changing our mind here. I think some of you are really getting scared by what I just said. I didn't think about that. Now you're reminding me. Yeah, it sounds really scary. Do I really want to surrender after all? Exactly. Is he really all I need? Yes, I should have no fear. So what are things I consider most important to me? That's the question. That's the question that will kind of answer everything about the topic of surrender. What are the things that I consider most dear to me? Because what I consider most dear to me, I will say that is all I need. I will not say Christ is all I need. I will say that is all I need, whatever it is. Even if it's a list of things that is very, what is very dear to me, most important in my life. What's in my life, I don't think I can live without. Some will say my family, some will say my friends, some will say my career, or some will say my financial stability, some will say my health. So everyone will have an answer. What am I aiming to reach? Is when I ask this question, what are things I consider most important in my life? Eventually, it will be Christ. Until that happens, it will be difficult. Till I start submitting this, and it's okay, I can live without, this is most important to me, then tomorrow, God willing, hopefully, if you're staying for the quiet time, or if you do quiet time after this talk somehow, you try to sit down and sit, what's most important in my life, what I cannot live without, and I put them as a list, and this is a list I need to, what to do with it. I need to get rid of it, which means, we said, okay, and how do I surrender it? Through repentance and confession, remember? Like, to solve this cycle is only repentance and confession. If I acknowledge, yes, God, I must admit I do love these things. Apparently, I didn't know, but apparently I love those things next to you or more important than you. And please forgive me and please help me to let them not be important to you. Help me not to put them as number one. Help them to keep going down in my list till you are number one in my life. Until I honestly say you're most important to me. Until that happens, then when I start experiencing real freedom. Okay? So that's why we have a tendency to hold on to whatever we think we cannot live without. And that's why we hold on to it, because we believe we cannot live without it. But the truth is, can we live without it? Can we live without it? Some are very silent. Okay, I hope. Yeah. The truth is, I can live without it. But I tell myself, I cannot live without it. But the truth of the word of God is, I can live without it because Christ is all I need. Because God is sufficient to me. Okay? That's the truth. But we tell ourselves, I can't live without this. I won't be able to live without this. I can't handle, I can't envision myself. And I freak myself out. And I stress myself. Okay.
It is hard to feel like I can't live without my family.
Yes. It's difficult.
It's difficult.
Yeah. And the good example we're going to come to is in a minute. I know that all of us kind of say, if I surrender to God everything, and all of us have fears, well, if I surrender, maybe God will take me on my word and do this to me and do that. And everyone has a fear, and we're really afraid if I surrender to God that he'll really do this to me, you know? I think all of us have that kind of mind. If I surrender my children to me, God is going to take them. If I surrender my the person I love the most is going to take that person from me. And we get scared because we forget that, like, we really feel like God is testing us, and his goal is to perfect us, and his goal is his will to be done in our life. Like, all these are sub-goals. But really, and God wants me to do all these things so I can shine in this world, and he can use me for his glory. And all these things are not wrong, but this is not the primary thing why God is is doing all this to me. You understand? Like, God is not doing all this to me for an agenda. He has for Christianity to spread in the whole world because of me. You understand? Like, God has only my best interest in mind. And if this not is not going to be for my best, He won't do it for me. This is very important. Okay? Oh.
Mm. هو ربنا ما داريش مثلا جوزي واولادي عشان ياخدهم مني ماشي ياخدهمني عشان دول هيكونوا الهلبر معايا في الطريق اللي انا همشي فيه للجاد يعني دول ليتمجد اسمه يعني انا باخدهم مش عشان حاجه تاني وبعدين هو بيقول لك ان انت ممكن ياخدهم منك في حاجه واحده بس لو انت لو الله لاحظ ان انت بتحبيهم اكتر منه لان هو غيور ف يعني جات غيورة على نفسه أنا هكون غيورة لو أنا بحب جوزي بحس إن في حد هياخده مني فهو المسيح أكتر من كده يعني إحنا مش مجرد زوج وزوجة لا إحنا أولاده فتخيلي بقى أنتي في حد أولادك يعني ابني بيحب حد أكتر مني شوفي فهو الله كده زي يعني زي الأم يعني أكتر مثل للمحبة هي الأم للطفل مش الأب للطفل لأن الأم أكتر حاجة يعني أقول أبويا بيحبني لكن مش زي أمي
She's saying that God is a jealous God, and the only reason God would take my child who I love dearly only if he feels that I love this child more than I love him. That's a little scary. But he's merciful. Exactly. But you know what she's saying is partially true. If my love for these things are going to affect my salvation and it's going to hinder me from going to heaven, he might do whatever it takes because of his love, because we see earth here as eternity. But God doesn't see that way. And God does not treat us with this, the measurements we think. Because we think, earth, I want pleasure here on earth, and that's all I need, and that's all what you should give me, God, and that's really all I care for. But God is not going to do that for me. Because God sees it all, and sees the big picture, and he's going to do the best for me. Yeah, as I explained it, God is jealous in meaning he loves me so much and he knows that I'm safest in loving him and that's why it's not out of his selfishness. Like it's out of... Okay. There are four important things. Did I answer you, Lisa? I said no, it's not like the terms of the world. Jealousy in his terms is a jealous God means he... He will not be jealous in that way, but he knows that that's dangerous for me. And that could lead me in the wrong way. So I start worshipping my family versus worshipping him. And that's dangerous for me, not for him. It's not going to affect him, but it's going to hurt me. And he doesn't want that. So he kind of makes sure I don't love anyone more than him for my own well-being. Because everything is temporary and he's eternal. So if I'm loving anything temporary, he knows that these things are going to go. I'm going to be destroyed. So he doesn't want that for me. Let's move on and don't forget your questions, okay?
No, it's no question. I always tell my son who you love more. And he tell me you and daddy. And I tell him, no, God first before me and
daddy. Yes.
And he say, okay, daddy, you know who I love more? God, and after this, you.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
You know, he understand why he do this or just saying, you know?
Shwaya, that's good. It's a good first step. That's what I do. I do the same thing. There are four things that we consider very important to us. Starts all with the letter P. Number one, provision. Okay? Will I have what I need? Number two, pleasure. Will I be, if I surrender to God, will I have what I need? Will I be happy? Pleasure. Number three, protection. Will I and those I love be safe? If I surrender to you, will all those people be safe and myself? And the last one is personal relationships. Will my relational needs be met? Or will I be alone? I will lose all my friends and all the people I love. Will my relational needs be met? Okay? How can I overcome those fears? Only through faith. Only through faith. Okay. Now we move to the lovely story. Yes. The four things. Provision? Will I have what I need? Pleasure? Will I be happy? Protection? Will I and those I love be safe? Personal relationships? Will my relational needs be met? Okay, I want you to think now of Abraham, but don't think of Abraham as a saint, and don't think of him as anyone except. Think of Abraham as a normal human being, because he was a normal human being with feelings just like you and me, a normal man who started a walk with God, who started a relationship with God just like you and me, and then one day God tells him, Abraham, I want you to leave your country, your family, everything, and just move away to a place I will tell you. He didn't even tell him where to go, okay? And that was the first thing God asked him to do. What did Abraham do? 3 verses later, it says, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him. Okay? So he obeyed. What happened after he obeyed? He left everything, and he lived in a tent, but he was the wealthiest man on the face of this earth. God gave him everything. And not just everything, throughout his journey, there are things that are described in the Bible, and I'm sure there are many things that are not described in the Bible, but it was a journey where he obeyed the first time, and then he saw the result of his submission. What do you think is, what did he experience? We say Abraham was the friend of God. Abraham was the friend of God. Abraham was buddy with God. He was a best friend. Like Abraham and God were walking together, and God told him, God was thinking, should I tell Abraham what I am about to do? And he told Abraham what he's about to do. And Abraham told him, no, friends talking. No, God, don't. If there are 50 good people in the city, don't do it. And God told him, okay, but there are no 50 in. Like, God was conversing with him, giving and taking with him, and if there were 10 good people in the city, because of Abraham, God wouldn't have destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, you know? He was the friend of God. And, like, you know, he told him, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And Abraham felt, you know what? I don't think what mattered to Abraham was the wealth he gave him. I don't think it even mattered at all for Abraham. But just having this companion, like, he started to have a relationship with God. And I think he would definitely be able to say, God is all I need, you know? Who walked with God and was not found? First Genesis 1. Enoch. This man amazes me. This man walked with God and he was not found because God took him. This man walked with God, submitted to God. God told him, you know what? We're buddy, just come with me, you know? There is a love relationship. There is satisfaction. Not in what God gave Enoch, not what gave Abraham. Yes, there were little miracles here and there because we're humans, because Abraham was a human. God protected him in so many ways. But I think what made Abraham in the end, he told him, I want you to give up your own only child that you waited for how many years?
100 years.
Almost 100 years. Abraham. So when Abraham told him, when God told Abraham, I want you to give your only son, was that too difficult? Was that a challenge or a battle? The next morning, early in the morning, I'm so excited. He was probably thinking, it seems like it to me, you know? If he was hesitant, like noontime maybe, like early in the morning, first thing in the morning, God, my son, let's go. And you know, they say that Abraham, when he was sacrificing his son on the altar, he was not just sacrificing his son, he was putting who on the altar? Himself. What's more, like it's more difficult to put, it's, you know, he was putting everything, he was putting his, it's easier to put himself. So he was putting his son, he was putting himself on the altar. Like, God, you can take everything. You're all I need. I am going to obey you blindly. And it was very easy. So first step might be difficult for us to submit, but after that it becomes so easy because we kind of taste how good the Lord is. Can I, after this verse of Genesis 15:1, do not be afraid, and you put your name, do not be afraid, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Can I, after this verse, relinquish people, things I can't imagine living without? With every step of surrender, it confirms that God is worthy of my trust. No one surrendered to God and did not conclude that God is worthy. Let me surrender more and more. Okay. Abraham understood something I think God really wants us to understand. He understood that everything this world offers is temporary at best. Okay? Abraham understood, I'm going to give my son today. Well, very soon, all these are temporary. Even my son, even the people that are so dear to me, they're very temporary, you know. But may God give us this wisdom and this understanding. And Abraham understood that very well. So how does this relationship, God with Abraham, grew to that level? Through series of? Surrender. Through series of? Surrender. The more I surrender, the more I'm going to experience this relationship with God. The more God puts something in my way. And sometimes, as we said, surrender are two things. I hope this is very clear to us. Things God brings my way and I accept and I have peace, come to have peace with it. And things He asks me to do and I obey. I surrender. Okay? So the more I surrender in these two ways, the more my relationship with God will grow, and I will definitely feel that He is my shield, my protection, and my great reward. What if we do not trust God's promises and do not step in faith and surrender? What will end up happening? Huh? Ahna. What if we do not trust God's promises? Yani Abraham trusted in God's promises, and that's what kept him going. God promised, and I trust God, I am going to surrender. Okay. Yes, it will be miserable. We discussed all that, but I want you to remember one thing, is that if I don't surrender, I will be in How about, so you don't confuse yourself?
I won't be a believer.
How about, all of this is right and true. But one thing I want us to digest very well, and that's very true, I don't surrender, I will find myself in bondage. Okay? I will be not free. Because I think if I surrender to God, I will not be free. No. If I surrender to God, I will be free, as Moura was explaining to us very well. You know? If I surrender to God and I tell Him, You are my God, and God wants my freedom, and that's where I will find all my freedom, just like this slave story you were telling, okay? But if I decide not to surrender to God, then I will be in bondage. And now we're going to go into this four things. You guys are still okay? Okay, let's go through the four needs we have, the provision, the pleasure, the protection, and the personal relationship, and we'll conclude there. And we'll go through each one of them, and you will see how, if I don't surrender, I will be in bondage to something. And you will nod with me as I was going through this. I nodded. Okay? So provision. We said, what's provision? Huh? Will I have what I need? So, God wants us to be content with what we have. So, His promise is He. So with all of these, I'll tell you God's promise, and I'll tell you when we don't surrender. So God wants us to be content with what we have. We have much, we have little. He wants us to be content. And what's His promise? His promise is simple. He will provide for our needs. He said, do not worry, because if I take care of the birds of the air, I will take care of you. That's His promise. Okay, so God wants us to be content. If we are unwilling to trust, we will be controlled by something or another. What are we going to be controlled by in the area of provision? By greed, stealing, cheating, and cheating يعني has, or stealing has different, like let me kind of trick the salesperson or put a sticker here or return something, or like there are many ways I can go into this. Lack of generosity, I'm controlled by these things. Lying, worrying about finances, worrying, coveting, or centering my life around money.
Envying.
So these things will always be controlling me. One or another, or more than one, I will always be controlled by one of those. But if I am living a life of contentment, I will not feel the need to look at the person next to me, or, you understand? Number two, pleasure. What's pleasure, we said? Will I be happy? Well, we understand that sorrow, suffering, and struggle are inevitable, right? Like, they will happen in everyone's life because we are living in this fallen world. But what's God's promise? I have overcome the world. What's God's promise in regards to pleasure? He says, My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Okay. So he promised peace in the middle of suffering. And he promised to lift us up above our circumstances. So I can be in a very difficult circumstance, but God will still lift me up, and people will look and, oh my goodness, she is going through all that. And look at the smile on her face, and look how she's praising God. And Iman was sharing with me a while ago about a woman who was dying with cancer, and she would go and visit her, and the woman is praising God, and the woman is happy, and the woman is preaching to others, you know. You say, what is this? This is God's promise. Yes, she's in a terrible situation, she's in a lot of pain, but God is promised, and he is, and you see it in everyone who is trusting and surrendering to God. Like, why, God? Why did you give me this disease? Or why did you allow my children to go this? If I stop that and start thinking, and I will have that. That's his promise, okay? What if I refuse to surrender? Okay, so people down here on earth, in the middle of fire, they can experience a taste of heaven. Trust me, there are people, and I'm sure all of you get those emails circulating, people with very difficult circumstances, and they're praising God, and they're going all around preaching about how great God is, you know. Okay, so, if we are unwilling to trust God with our happiness, and we insist on the pursuit of temporal pleasures, what do we become dominated by? Pleasure, which means overeating, getting drunk, using drugs. I know some extremes are here. Sexual promiscuity, adultery, pornography, obsession with television or films or novels. Or we become irresponsible and we just can't be responsible. Even if we want to be responsible, we just can't be. Or we become, living beyond our means, you know, like, I only have that much, but I go and I use my credit card and I live this because I want pleasure, you know? So we live beyond our means. That's pleasure. Number three is protection. What's protection? Safety. Will I be safe, and will my family or the people I love be safe? Okay. What's the promise? What's God's promise? What's the song? What does it say? God is my refuge and strength and shield and ever-present help in trouble. And God, he told Abraham, I am your shield. So there are so many promises in the Bible that he will protect us, right? If we do not entrust our safety to God, but demand human assurance and protection and security, what can we be controlled by? Fear, of course. Worry. Mistrust. Can't trust people. obsession with weapons, maybe this is extreme. Unwillingness to be vulnerable. Huh? Unwillingness to be vulnerable. What does that mean? And how does that have to do with protection?
Not accepting disease.
I don't want to show myself weak. Worry. Mistrust of people. And fear of intimacy. Tendencies toward violence. Hatred. Prejudice. Paranoid type thoughts. Maybe this person looked at me because they want. And maybe this person is, you know, we become paranoid. And this is so, so, so true. And this grows. So God is my protection. I have no fear. I can walk. I know He will protect me. I can send my children easily to here and there without my supervision because I trust God will take care of them. So I am not living in fear of myself or the people I love. I can set them free and know that God will take care of them. Last one, personal relationships. What's that? Will God... You guys left. This is the last one. Will my relational needs be met? Will I get married? Will my husband pass away? Will my children pass away? Will my friend move and leave me? Will I move and leave everyone? You know, what's God's promise? That's a difficult one. What's the promise? What does that mean? She said, I am with you always until the end of the world.
Even if you lost your family, you lost anybody, I'm still with you.
Yes. And what does that mean? I am all you need. So be careful here. He did not promise, I am going to keep this person for you and keep that person for you, because this is all temporal. But remember, your need for relational satisfaction, your real need for relational satisfaction is me. And He promised that He will be there. And He will have an intimate relationship with me. And that will be the richest of human relationships. And He promised that, to give me that. Okay, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5, if you want to put it as a promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Okay, now if we don't value Him as our primary relationship, what kind of bondage will we be in? If we do not trust Him or value Him as our primary relationship, what are we going to be in bondage of? Or what kind of fear? What will happen?
Insecurity.
Look for other relationships. We will try really to hold on to any kind of relationship we have, okay? So what does that going to do? We will live in fear of losing human relationships. So we will live with the bondage of fear again. Losing human relationships. And we will be controlled by possessiveness. Don't leave me. Where are you? Come back.
It goes under fear.
It goes under fear. Giving or taking abuse. You know what that means? Giving or taking abuse. I will give abuse. I will abuse people. Or I will accept abuse because I don't want to lose this relationship. Okay? Because I can't live with human relationships. So either I will be abusive or I will take abuse. What else? Adultery, next on my list, of course. Because I will do anything to have a relationship. So I will be obsessed by one of those or more than one. Promiscuity, same thing. I'll just do whatever it takes to be around people or have someone. Devil relationship. Gossip, like, you know, sometimes to keep friendships and stuff, that all we, like, people gossip, and I have to be in it in order for me to continue in this friendship, because that's what all they do. So I find myself addicted to gossip, because if I don't tell them the hottest news of who did what, then I might be boring to them or something. So I... Huh? It sounds weird, huh? What does that mean? Huh? Okay, and we said obsessive or controlling relationships. Lust. Why the addiction of lust comes here? Because lust. Lusting for... dissatisfaction. Because humans don't give ultimate, no human relationship, you will be dissatisfied, and you will be always living with dissatisfaction, because this person that's close to you, your friend, your mate, or whoever, will never give you all you want. So you'll always be dissatisfied. Like, I expected that, and they didn't do that. Instability. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. Manipulation. Anything to keep a relationship. Dishonesty or jealousy. Okay? So do we understand and digest now that if we do not surrender to God, we are definitely in bondage of something or another? Okay, so, yes. Yes. Good question.
Like, I mean, you submit, you try to surrender, but you also worry and try to be a human being. But
the question is, I am a human being, and as human beings, I worry. And where do I draw the line between worrying and not worrying?
And God created us that way. Like,
and God created us that way. Okay. Okay. That's a very good question, but remember, like, the truth and the lies are mushing together here, okay? Like, I worry with my fallen nature, but God wants me to live a life with no worry. And he said, do not worry. How many times in the Bible he said, do not worry? So don't give yourself, it's not okay for me to worry. It's okay for me to worry for a split second, for a minute, for 2 minutes at the most. And once I worry, I realize, no. The devil is throwing some lies there. God said, do not worry. Do not worry about your children. Do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about your finances. So God did not create me this way. My fallen nature is a nature that worries. So the devil will throw in a thought to make me worry about my children, about my future, about my finances. And I say, no, my Father is God, and he promised to protect me, to provide for me and my children. And I trust his promise, and I am not going to worry. So I counterattack this thought right away with the truth. So God did not, and that's the lie, like, it's okay for you to worry. No, it's not okay for me to worry and you to worry more than it's okay for me to worry for a minute, 2 minutes at the most. And then I realized, that's a devil. That's the devil. And the devil is around each and every one of us 24/7. If he finds a reason to come in, he will come in. And I need to identify that at that moment. And once I lose my peace, then it's a lie from the devil. If I worry more than 2 minutes, then this is a lie from the devil, and I need to have peace. And if I don't have peace about whatever I'm worried about, then the devil convinced me that my life is not in God's hands, and he's not going to take care of me in this area.
I know everything is coming for thinking, you know, like the devil, he would just one point, and after this, if you leave him, he go and make more, and after this, you're thinking too much, and you forgot what God, he go and do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
this why we do it. I do it.
Yes.
Sometimes I leave the devil. What's too much? Yeah.
What she's saying is our life every day. What she's saying is our life every day. The devil will bring in a thought. Either I will push it with the truth, or I will bring it in. And I will bring it in, and anxiety starts, worry starts, stress starts, every single day. And I need to identify that every moment of the day. Once I lose my peace, the devil lied, I opened the door, and I said, oh, yeah, how about that? How can I answer that question? Sometimes when the devil makes me worry, I might not have the answer right there and then, but I should still not let it in. I should say, okay, God, what's the truth about that? Either give me the answer to counterattack the devil, or give me peace so I don't have to answer it, but I am in peace. I don't feel like I need to answer it.
And you know something, I'm sorry. You know, the devil, when he coming, he's not coming for the person, he is not thinking for God. He coming for the one he has relationship with God.
Yes, so that's for every one of us here. Yes.
What's the difference between being worried, or like, I'm being worried with for my kids, so I need my kids to like pray every day or every night. So every night before they sleep, say, okay, you need to read the Bible. We need to pray together. I'm like, well, is this is being worried, or just that we, like, I care about them, I need them to pray before they sleep?
Good question.
And sometimes they get like nervous, like, you need to pray.
And I make them hate prayer. I do the same. So I might not be able to answer that. But I think the right answer is...
As a mother, I care about my kids. I need them to like...
The right answer is I pray, I teach them, and I pray for them that they get there. And I leave God's timing. And sometimes we want the timing of God is to be now. I want my kid to be a saint today. And one day God told me, you know, I am not going to give him that grace today. So you just need to be patient. Any other questions? That's a very good question. See, with everything, there is a truth and there is a lie. God created us as people to love each other and to be loved by each other. But at the same time, there are thousands of people, and it's been proved, like, people can live all by themselves with God and be totally satisfied. So it's not a need. I cannot put it under the need, because God promised to provide all my needs. And that's his promise. He did not promise to provide all my wants. So that could be all my want, and I'm putting it under the umbrella of all my needs. But really, if this is my need, God would have provided it. Okay, so I need to trust that very much. Okay? And God sometimes provides the need for love, for relationship. Like he said, either he will do it himself, or he will provide people to do it sometimes. You understand? Like sometimes God will love me directly, and sometimes God will send people to love me. Both of them are from God, but it's not a need. Okay? It sounds difficult, but that's the truth. If I needed people around me, he would have put people around me. He will not give me something. He will not deprive me of something I cannot live without. And this is something I can share with you. In my marriage, I read a book, and it was saying his needs, her needs. So I said, like, I don't remember which book. I think it was his needs, her needs, or something. And basically said, like, the needs of a woman is so and so and so. And I said, okay, my needs are, I need to spend some time with my husband, and I'm a certain amount of time with my husband, which is, in a season did not happen. And as much as we tried, it did not happen. Emergencies, things here and there. And I would cry to God, and I tell him, God, like, this is a need. I read it in a Christian book, and that's why I say, like, not all Christian books are even guided by the Holy Spirit, and we need to be very careful. You might have read it even in a Christian book. And I would really cry, and I say, okay, I'm going to be, like, it was out of my husband's, really. Yani it was not that he was doing it intentionally. And in the end, God was like revealed to me, and he told me, you know, remember before you were married, I was all in your life, and you were totally satisfied. And I remember that. I remember telling him, God, I don't want to get married. I don't feel like I need to get married. All I need is you, and you're more than enough for me. And he told me, where did that go? And I thought even like it was Eve's curse, like I rationalized it. Your desire would be for your husband, and you said that, and now I'm cursed, and what am I going to do? But we are living in the era of grace, and God basically really convicted me that I am all you need, and what happened is your husband became part of a God for you, you know? Partially a God for you, and that's why you can't live without it. And let's go back to this relationship. And it was very convicting, and I went back to that, and then the schedule, the schedule was fine after that, and there was no problem. So I feel like definitely if it was a need, God was going to do it. And sometimes we are deprived of something because God wants us to taste something better, and he doesn't want us to be dependent and needy. He wants us healthy, and afterwards he will provide through people, through himself. Any other questions? Okay.
I'm not sure if it matters, but did Abraham know that God was going to spare his son or provide something even more glorious?
That's what the Bible says. He believed that God is going to provide.
He's that God would spare his son? He didn't know that, though, right?
Resurrect him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, any more questions?
Well, just because you give up these needs, that doesn't mean you should stop praying for them, right?
Very good question. She was saying, can you say it again?
Just because you give up these needs, it doesn't mean that you have to stop praying for them, right?
It doesn't mean because you give up these needs that you stop praying for them. Yes, you don't stop praying for them, but you don't obsess about them. Like I say, like God knows what I want. These are not needs, these are wants, remember? Because needs, God is going to provide all my needs. But these are wants, and they're there, and they're really strong, and I really want that. And God, would you deprive me of something I want, like even if it's not what I need? No, he would. And I don't stop praying about them, but I stop obsessing. Like I don't, God give me, and God do this, and God do it this way, and God, about it. I don't obsess. I pray and I leave it in God's hands, knowing and trusting that he will give me the best at the best time. And he knows, and he's not going to make me live less because of that, you know? And sometimes, like, really the problem is the devil comes and tries to envision to us, my life is less than others because I don't have that. And that's not true.
في آية بالعربي ما أعرفش أقولها بالإنجليزي اللي هي إحنا دائما بنطلب لكن ربنا أساس أحيانا بيأجل الطلب بتاعنا أو الطلبة بتاعتنا يعني عشان هو دائما بيقول أنت لا تعلم ما أنا فاعل بك لكنك ستفهم فيما بعد.
Sometimes God postpones or delays His answer because He says you don't know what I am doing but you will understand later on. Very good questions. خلاص, let's pray. Who will pray for us? Who wants to pray for us? Yuri, صلّل. مين هيصلّل نريد؟
Your words, Lord, all through the day today. We thank you, God, for your very powerful messages, Lord, that you have given to each and every one of us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for bringing each and every one of us here, Lord, for a particular purpose. You have a reason for every single one of us being here. Dear Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to help us to remember always, Lord Jesus, the words, Lord, that we hear, that you want to give to us, every message from you, Lord. Help us to remember it always, every day. Lord, I'm not going to pray, Lord, for what we need because you provide that for us, Lord. And I won't pray for what we want either because you always give us what is best. But I ask you, Lord Jesus, to please increase our faith and increase our trust, Lord, in you, that we really and truly believe, God, that you have everything that we need. Lord, help us to really remember and understand and to have, Lord God, the wisdom, Lord, to really understand and appreciate everything that you do for us, Lord God, in all the good times and the bad times. Lord, take away from us all our fear, God, fear of the unknown, fear of anything, Lord, bad coming from this, anything from this world, Lord God, that we hold so dearly to us. Help us, Lord, to decrease this world from our hearts and to increase you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to watch over all my sisters here. Give us, Lord, to carry out the rest of the evening, Lord, in peace and in your peace and in your joy, Lord. Help us to have good conversations, Lord, to remember you throughout the rest of this weekend and in our daily lives when we head back home. I pray for all these things, Lord, through the intercessions of your Blessed Mother Mary, St. Mark, St. Peter, St. John, Pope Clovis, and all your saints who praised you from the beginning. So we pray to you, thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.